So joining me on the phone today to talk about his brand new novel, Sinker, is Jason Johnson. So hi, Jason. Thanks for talking to me today.
Hi, Paula. Thanks very much.
No problems. So let's start off by talking about this new book of yours. Do you want to maybe tell our listeners about what the story is in your latest book?
Well, it's really the story of a young man from Derry who is a university dropout and reckons that his only real talent is basically out drinking the next guy. You know, he's always been the sort of last man standing in the pub. So he a wee bit reluctantly sort of signs up for the world's most controversial sport, which is professional drinking. And the book assumes that the sport already exists, and he gets involved in that, and things go a little bit sort of haywire from there.
Yeah, as you would think. So where did the idea for the story come from?
If I'm honest, it came to me at a time when I was just basically drinking too much, and I thought I need to sort of take a step
yes.
back and take stock of myself. And when you do that, you know, you sort of become more aware of the place that alcohol has in your own life, that it has in society. So I sort of opened my eyes a wee bit and thought, you know, this society is just saturated with alcohol. You know, it's just sort of on every occasion possible, you know, there's a reason to sort of bring alcohol into it. And it's kind of like a national pastime in a way.
Most definitely.
It's almost like sort of gardening or baking
yes.
or something like that, that just goes on all the time but has a kind of competitive edge to it. And particularly among young men, you know, there are sort of competitive drinking and sort of drinking games and whatnot that go on. And I thought, what if somewhere along the line someone had formulated some rules, turned this into a proper professional sport, you know, sponsors had gotten involved. It would be a very controversial sport, you know, but it would be, for a writer, it would be immediately you have a situation of where there's controversy, where there's, you know, comedy, kind of bit of madness and depravity and, you know, humour and drama and conflict, and all just seemed to be to fit very well with that as a launch pad, you know.
Yeah, it does very much seem to be a national pastime.
To
be getting more and more.
Yeah, it does, and it's not something that, I mean, people have been asking me, you know, do you think things are changing, you know, and I think back to when I was growing up, the kind of guys in some cases that we looked up to were fellas who could go into the pub and sit there and drink sort of 15 pints and walk out, you know, and they were kind of people we admired. And I think that has changed a little bit. I think, you know, the gym or the coffee shop or, you know, those kind of places are more sort of have taken a bigger influence in our lives than just the pub does now. But at the same time, you know, recently we've had like this horrible neck nominate craze, you know, where people are challenged to down a bottle of vodka or whatever it happens to be. So I think this kind of drinking culture is still very much there, the sort of binge drinking culture. It just changes, you know, it's a kind of constant in society and it just changes its nature from time to time, you know.
Yeah, most definitely. So looking at the characters in your book, do you have a process of how you put characters together? Process behind it?
Well, I've found through experience that I like to write as the kind of narrator, you know, from inside somebody's head, first person stuff. And it's about developing that character, and all the other characters sort of fall into place because it's the protagonist's view of the other characters. So, you know, when you have his view of the world in your mind, you know, then all the other characters sort of can be easily defined and easily sort of put together from his point of view. So it's a limiting way in a way because you always have to be with that one character. There can't be events that take place that he's not aware of.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it does give you an opportunity to really sort of build a deep personality, to really dig deep into someone's mind, which to me is sort of trumps just having a look at 5, 6, 10 people's minds, you know, which wouldn't be as done in as much depth, you know. So that's what I enjoy. It's almost a bit like sort of acting in a way,
because
you know, you sort of try to get into the head of the person and think how they would think, you know. So I don't know what someone would make of me when if they saw me writing and sort of saying sentences and stuff to myself to see how they sound and, you know, sort of close my eyes and, you know, whatever it is, you know, that the character's doing. But hopefully that'll never happen, you know.
Yeah, I mean, you wonder whether you would think that writing in the first person would be quite an easy... Do you know what I mean? You think, oh, it'd be quite easy just to have the one character sort of narrating the story.
It's just, you would do it. It's kind of, I find it the most enjoyable way to write, you know. You build up a sort of style of the person's, the way the person speaks, the sort of words they like to use, the kind of common thoughts they have.
Yeah.
So you get into a kind of rhythm of it, but at the same time, technically, you know, as some writers will say, it is restrictive. You know, I did try in my second novel, Alina, I did sort of write from that sort of God perspective where you're aware, where the reader's aware of everything that's going on and every thought in everybody's head. You know, you can sort of dip out of the picture in that way. But to me, it just didn't, just working from the insides of the heads of different characters at different times, I just find it, it wasn't as much fun, you know.
Yeah. So, I mean, how long did the book take from, you know, from the first sort of idea to obviously being a finished published book?
You know, I had the idea for this in 2009.
Mm-hmm.
I hadn't written a book for about 5 years, and I'd been thinking, well, I'm not going to do that until I get an idea I really like. The idea just struck me, and I thought, you know, I love this, and it developed in my head, and I started to get a picture of the protagonist in my head, and all, and I thought, I really have to start writing this. I didn't have a publisher or an agent or anything like that, but I just knew that I had to sit down. And over time, really the last draft was completed at the start of this year. So it was a very slow process because I wasn't sort of under any pressure. Didn't have a deadline, so it was, I mean, we're talking about sort of 3-4 years, really, you know. But as I say, you know, if it had a deadline, it probably would have been quicker. But I think the way it developed and the way it grew has made it a sort of stronger book, you know. And I think really putting the time and the thought into it. I mean, I remember when I put the last full stop after the last draft and sent it off, I remember just thinking to myself, well, look, this is as best as I can do with this. This is every word in this is exactly the way I want it to be. And that's kind of nice feeling, you know.
That's all you can do at the end of the day, isn't it? If you're happy with it, then... You know, you should be able to just go with it and, you know, see what happens.
That's exactly it. I mean, it's like anything anyone does, anything anyone builds, or, you know, any job anyone does in their work, whatever, you know, if that's as good as you can do, then you know, if you can accept that, you know, and let it go, then it's great. And I found I was able to do that, and I didn't think, oh, I wish I'd changed that. So it was kind of a new thing for me, really, that, you know, because I'm normally sort of just return to things and rework them, you know.
So this is your third novel now, anyway. So has it been a bit of a learning curve? Has it gotten easier? Do you know what I mean? Did you learn anything between your first book and this current book?
Yeah, I learned really to read more. I think I've always been a sort of watched a lot of television. I used to read a lot when I was younger. Then I sort of got into movies, and I thought you kind of end up being into one. You know, you're sort of go through the phase where you're into lots of movies or certain directors' movies or whatever. You know, and I just dipped in and out of novels. But ahead of writing Sinker, I remember I was reading a lot of books, and it just keeps the brain moving in a different way, you know, and all the descriptions you read and whatnot. And it's helpful. It's kind of like exercise for the mind, you know. So you're kind of in there, and you're sort of a bit of a magpie. You know, there's other people's styles and whatnot that really kind of impress, and you know, you can take that away with you and sort of be inspired by work, by other people's work, more so than you would be by television or movies, because it's totally different formats. So reading has been the way forward for me. So I'm just constantly reading now, you know. I think I need to start taking this seriously, you know.
Yeah. So why did you choose this sort of genre of novel? Did it just flow naturally? Was it just a natural way of writing?
That's what it was. I mean, I like people. I mean, it's been said before that there's too much bad language in the stuff I've written and whatnot. I'm thinking, well, where are you from? There's this society that
exactly
you know, modern Irish, you know, contemporary fiction, you know, tackling sort of current subjects. What part of Ireland are you living in that you don't hear?
Yeah,
sort of.
Yeah, exactly.
Colourful language, you know. It's like to me, it's like an episode of EastEnders, you know, where these terrible things are happening and no one seems to raise anything more than a mildly sort of offensive threat to somebody.
Yeah, yeah.
And it just isn't believable, you know. So it just comes sort of natural to me to have fairly sort of tough, challenging language and events where through their black humour and quite often where people get killed quite a bit in my novels and suffer sort of terrible things, and that's the kind of, I like fiction that sort of pushes me around a wee bit, you know,
yeah,
that shoves me in a direction, one direction or another, you know, sort of unexpected stuff, and so you kind of write what you would like to read.
Mm.
I'm never going to be sort of writing about pretty wallpaper or you know, the sort of you know how someone enjoys growing lettuces or something. It's always going to be a bit more gritty, is the word that people like.
Yeah, definitely.
Hopefully, it applies. You know.
Yeah, I suppose these things come naturally. It just sort of flows out of you. You know what I mean? It's better to write sort of from your own heart and head than you know try and follow a trend or something.
Exactly. I mean, there's talk, excuse me, at the minute, you know, the whole sort of young adult genre, you know.
Oh, yeah, it's huge, absolutely huge.
Yeah, a huge genre, and in marketing terms, it seems to be the place to go. But, I mean, if someone came up to me and said, with a check, and said, would you write a book about, you know, an angst-ridden 14-year-old vampire, then I would say, you know, yes, of course I'll do it. But if I'm going to sit down on my own and dream up my own plots and sort of characters and whatnot, then they're going to be a little bit more sort of, I don't know, sort of real and grown up, and they're going to be living in the adult world, and they're going to be susceptible to temptation and all of those other sort of crazy things that go on in people's heads, you know.
Yeah. So, I mean, going back in time, how did your first novel come about?
That was 2004 when I was writing that, and it was a time when we'd had the ceasefires in Northern Ireland.
Yes.
And politics had turned into the peace process, and instead of being a kind of positive thing, the peace process was turning into a very negative thing.
Mm.
And it was just about daily bickering and where nobody could get on and decide how we could move forward.
Yeah.
It was just like, you know, we've come so far, people aren't being killed anymore, and now we're bickering about the tiniest little
stupid
details,
things,
you know?
Yeah.
And it kind of grew out of there. I didn't have a publisher, I didn't even think to be honest, about getting it published, but I just remember I sort of used it as a channel for a bit of sort of anger and disappointment, I suppose. And I created this character who was half Catholic, half Protestant,
yeah,
you know, and had been sort of bullied by both sides as he grew up. And I just sort of unleashed him on a sort of mission of sort of twisted revenge where he started. He started murdering paramilitary figures. The sort of logical outcome of that in my mind was that everybody on all sides would sort of bond together and say, no, you can't do this. This doesn't fit the template of murder.
Yeah,
kill this guy because he's in this or he's such and such and such. That's how it works in Northern Ireland, you know. So I thought I just wanted to interrupt the pattern, you know.
Mm.
And it worked as a kind of therapy for me, you know.
Yeah,
I look at it now, wound liquor, you know, I look at it now and I think, my God, I was in a dark place in my mind at the time. I wrote that. I must have been really angry, you know, and some of the stuff in it, it got a bit brutal and whatnot, but I was glad to say it got at the time it got a sort of small cult following of people, because people did feel the same, you know, people were just tired of the whole thing, you know, and that's really what turned me into a novelist, you know, was that terrible period in our history, you know.
Yeah, most definitely. So how are you balancing? Are you balancing a full-time job with your writing as well at the moment, or how are you doing things?
Yeah, I am. I work as a journalist, so I eke out what time I can at the we have two small kids as well. So
yeah.
What time I can in the evenings you know, just some early mornings and late nights and whatnot. My wife's family have a wee cottage in Donegal.
Oh, cool.
Which is in complete silence. And it's wonderful to get down there for a day or two when I can and really just sort of get stuck into the writing.
Yeah.
So it's that, and it is a bit of a struggle, but I mean it's great when it's something you want to do and you really just look forward to the day when you've done it, you know.
Mm.
when you finish what it is that is going around in your head, you know, that you've got it all out of you, you know. So I'm not complaining at all, because I've got the balance just about right.
Yeah.
I think, and it's going okay, so I'm happy, you know.
Fantastic. So are you already working on book four?
Book four is underway, yeah.
Fantastic.
There's I've got a rough plot, but it's just a sort of 5-point plot.
Mm.
So it's sort of you start with one incident, and then there's another incident that you need to meet a few chapters on, so you
yeah.
just fill in the gaps. So it's the joy of doing that is just sort of colouring it in at the minute, you know. So yeah, so I'm not sure entirely what's going on in the book, but it'll start to make sense hopefully on the second draft, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Well, no point worrying about it just yet. Do you know what I mean? You've just this book three is out now, so that's all you need to concentrate.
Oh yeah, that's it. But I've this next one to write by sort of May June next year, or to hopefully it'll be published May June.
Yeah,
next
yeah.
year. So I've got to crack on with it, but. That's great, you know. I mean, it's nice when this book comes out, but I haven't been writing for a long time
because
I was doing the rewrites at the start of this year. So now it's out and it's on the shelves, and it's time to just say, right, upwards and onwards, and let's get stuck into
it. A bit of pressure off you as well.
Yeah. Uh-huh. That's right. So it's nice. I mean, as I say, it's a kind of therapy, you know. And I've had a few months to think about this plot, and there's things that have been happening in the world, you know, that you can draw on and sort of think, well, that kind of confirms this bit, or
yeah,
you know, it kind of influences other bits. So you let all that sort of just gestate in your mind, and it's good. Now's the right time to do it.
Yeah. So are you still sort of, do you still get the old little shivers when you see your book on the, it must be a very weird feeling seeing a book that you've written on a shelf in a bookshop?
Do
you think so?
I grew up in Enniskillen, you know, and there's a bookshop in the centre of Enniskillen, and my mother rang me and said your book's on the shelf there, you know. So when I was down a few weeks ago, I walked in and there it was.
Yeah.
You know, on the shelf, and you know, you kind of think, you know, well, first of all, it's kind of like I'm getting used to the idea that you're really a writer. You must be really a writer now that you're...
Yeah,
you're
exactly.
I mean, this is my third novel, but I'm still not comfortable with calling myself a writer. You know, it's just a weird thing. And then, you know, because there's so many great books and great novelists out there, and, you know, you're trying to sort of
yes.
shoulder in among
yeah.
them. And seeing your book on the shelf, you kind of think, are they kind of just being nice to me by putting that up there, you know, because I'm sure there's other better people.
Mm.
You kind of have those doubts about your work, but at the same time you just sort of
yeah
go, and you know, then somebody says, oh, you know, will you sign this the book for me, and
oh wow,
say, oh, yeah, sure. And
fantastic.
You try to come to terms with it, but it was only the other day that I changed my Twitter profile just to mention that I was a writer, you know?
Yeah, yeah. So you're a local celebrity in Enniskillen now.
No, that's not so long ago that it's on film. People were saying, oh yeah, that's a book by a guy from Enniskillen. Who? But a great thing. It is exciting to see your book on the shelf. Yeah.
Yeah.
It is, but it's still not something I've got used to, you know.
No, I'd say so. So how did you get involved with Liberty's Press?
Well, they were looking around in Northern Ireland at the market up here, and it's been a very difficult time for publishers.
Yes.
You know? They were just looking for writers who really had sort of taken a step back, I think, but who had maybe shown some promise in the past. And I think a lot of writers just thought, you know, there's just no future in this.
Mm.
Because of all the terrible stuff about how publishers are just struggling so bad.
Yes.
You know, people are, all the success has been made on the internet with people just getting lucky with on some of the Amazon, with some of the Amazon e-books and whatnot. So there was just a conversation with Liberty's Press around that. One of the guys there had read my first novel and said, well, what do you think about going again? Have you got another idea? So
yeah.
A couple of meetings and I put forward this idea. And they said, well, you know, don't be afraid. Let's have a go. You know.
Yeah.
And the book had already. It was funny because it was, you know, serendipity, because the book really had been all but written. You know, this was last year, and I remember going back to Sinker and going through it, and thinking, oh yeah, I remember getting to this point. And then there were all these other chapters. That
yeah.
I barely remember writing this. You know, it had been over such a long period, and I just hadn't really had the ambition really to do anything with it, and there it was, nearly, you know, all but written, but for a couple of short chapters.
Mm.
And just needed a rewrite after that. I thought, well, this is good, you know, I'm feeling good about this. And
yeah,
I gave that to Liberty's, and they said, yep, this is good, we like this, and they got to work on it. So it was just serendipity, really. So I'm very pleased to have been working with them, and my next book will be with them as well.
Yeah, it must be great for them, you know, that these publishers have this belief in your work.
Yeah, that's what it seemed to come down to.
Yeah.
I suppose, I mean, when they take stock of, you know, things that have happened in the world, you know, if you like, it's like when you like a writer's novel from some years ago, and you know, you go back to that writer some years on, you'll still like the writer, but they'll be writing a very different story. So I suppose,
yeah,
you know, so much had happened since I'd written the last two books that any promise they saw in them, you know, that promise would hopefully, from their point of view, still be there, but the subject matter would be different. So something fresh, but they could be fairly sure that it was going to be, you know, okay, you know.
Yeah, so, I mean, do you, another question, do you use social media? Would you use, like, Facebook and Twitter and things and would you have gotten much feedback yet about your books?
Yeah, not really. I don't really, yeah, I'm on Facebook and whatnot, but it just can be a sort of handy tool sometimes. You know, on Twitter, not really. You know, I've tweeted out some promotional messages and whatnot, but there hasn't been a lot of feedback on that. It's really, I'm not sure. I think it can raise the profile, but I'm not sure it can really.
Yeah, yeah, no, I know what you mean.
Marketing tool in that way. I think, you know, there's so many messages on Twitter. Sometimes you don't even know you're being marketed as that,
and in
a way as well, you're getting into someone's sort of private space when you tweet them that your novel is on the shelves, and I don't think people always appreciate that, you know. And it's kind of not raise a profile, yeah, but as regards for giving the hard sell, I don't think it's a great place. So I don't tend to think about it in that way. It's Twitter's just a bit of crack, really, you know.
Oh yeah, yeah. No, I know exactly what you mean. Okay, so for our listeners out there, if there's somebody that's thinking, you know, they're thinking about writing a novel, they think maybe they have a story in them, what sort of advice would you give to someone that's thinking about maybe starting on their first novel?
Just go for it, you know. I mean, totally go for it and get it down as fast as possible. You know, don't sort of spend ages poured over different paragraphs. Well, get a first version down as fast as possible, and then take stock, and then rewrite and rewrite and rewrite. You know, you've got to believe in it. You can't.
Yes.
For me, I just couldn't write for you know, unless it was something that I really enjoyed. You've got to believe in your characters, believe in your plot, that's really what it comes down to. There's nothing. I mean, there's an awful lot of terrible books out there, so people should never be trying to, should never be worrying that they're going to write an awful book or anything like that. Because whatever they do, they'll be much worse out there. But maybe they'll write something brilliant. You know, it's a daunting thing, but if you can commit to it, it takes an awful lot of time to write a novel. You know, and you really got to commit to it, and there's no promise of really anything at the end of it. You know, so it's got to be something that you do from your heart, really. And if you can do that, then at the very least you'll be very pleased with yourself when you've got it done. You know.
Yeah, fantastic. So I just want to say thank you so much for taking the time to talk to me today, Jason.
Thank you, Paula. It's been great chatting to you.
Thank you very much. So, Sinker by Jason Johnson is published by Liberties Press, and it's available in all good bookshops now. So go out and get yourself a copy today.